It's Monday, the 11th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Ramon Sessions. Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and PQN17. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like PQN17 and sponsor the podcast for an episode, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be that sponsor. Thank you. If you do have 5 minutes spare, it'd be great if you could leave a review on iTunes. It helps the show out a lot. So thank you to everyone who's done that. And of course, thanks go to Moneyball, who have been a great supporter of the show all season, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. Join in on Moneyball for all your NBA DFS action and NRL, AFL, A-League, Premier League, NFL, MLB. Whatever you want, Moneyball has got you covered. If you are watching this show live, which you can always do on YouTube, and you can find the YouTube link through my Twitter account, through Facebook, you can search my name on YouTube and it will come up. And you are watching the show and you want to interact live, tweet at me at redrock_bball. You can see that Twitter handle below my head on the screen there. So tweet at me if you want any live interaction. Again, thank you to those guys. Not necessarily thank you. If you guys are still listening to the podcast at this point in the season, you're pretty dedicated to fantasy basketball and learning about fantasy hoops as well, and the NBA in general. I know that a lot of people's leagues are done, so the listenership has dropped a little bit. But if you guys are still with us, thank you, and let's get stuck straight into it.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. Jim Harden has been, I wouldn't say he's been fantastic because the Rockets have been struggling, but he's been doing everything that he can to get them into the playoffs and to get your fantasy team a championship or to get you some money in DFS. He's been tremendous. 41 minutes for Jim, 40 points with 4 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 steals, 6 triples. He went 14 of 31 from the field, which is not great, but it could have been worse. And he was 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Harden has been fantastic this season. He's been the third ranked player for the year. He's averaging more points than he did last year, almost 29 a game, almost 3 triples a game. He's got more rebounds, more assists, slightly less on the steals and blocks. His field goal percentage is basically the same. His free throws are basically the same as well. So doing almost identical work to what he did last season. And you were able to get him in leagues at 4, at 5. I got him in one league. And he's putting up a top 3 season. He has been fantastic. Despite all the criticisms of what he's been doing, he's been an absolute iron man. Over the last 2 months, he is averaging over 40 minutes a game to try and carry this team, which admittedly he put them in a bit of the hole to start the season. But he's been working his ass off to try and get things back in business and get the Rockets into the playoffs. They might fall short, but for fantasy purposes, he has been a constant source of stats, just happening all the time, and has been absolutely tremendous. In fact, over the last 3 months, he has been the second-ranked player. He had that slightly slow start to the year, but absolutely incredible season from Jim Harden. The young gun of the night and the waiver wire line of the night goes to the same player, and that is Markell Brown of the Brooklyn Nets. Brown played 34 minutes. He went 18, 11, and 4. He had 3 triples, 6 steals, and 3 blocks on 7 of 14 shooting. It's fair to say that is Markell Brown's best game ever. It's fair to say that it could be his best game of all time, that he never has a better performance than that. That is an incredible game from Brown. He has gone back and forward from playing minutes to being on the bench. For one, when Joe Johnson was waived, he was the guy that I wanted them to really give some run to. It didn't happen for long. He was in and out of the lineup, but he has been solid the last couple of weeks. He's giving you 1.5 steals, almost a 3 a game on 48% shooting. He can get rebounds as a shooting guard, one of the better rebounders at that position. He blocks shots at a pretty decent rate. He's at 0.6 blocks over the last couple of weeks in just 23 minutes. These are numbers that are all nice. Now, is he going to get 30 minutes a night? I don't know. I don't know why they're persisting with Wayne Ellington. They should be just putting Brown out there and giving him 25 to 30 a night and saying, let's see what you've got, because we know what Ellington's got, and it's a pretty empty bag of tricks that Wayno has. As for Brown, what do you do? Do you add him? Look, it really depends on your team and who you'd be dropping. He's not a must-own for sure, because they are going to give Sergei Karasev might get some minutes. They might give Ellington more minutes. They might give Bojan Bogdanovic a bit more at the two, although they've been playing him up one or two positions a lot of the time. So is he likely to have a game like this again? Absolutely not. Is he likely to play 34 minutes? I'd even probably say most likely not to that as well. Another guy that got in that position is Sean Kilpatrick. But he's putting in fantastic numbers. Obviously, that's an incredible line. I do like him for the deeper sort of dynasty formats. I do think he can develop into something on this team that is really bereft of talent. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen. But he does have a game that is fairly fantasy-friendly if he gets the playing time. But obviously, getting the playing time is a start. Got a tweet come in from Joseph Diffenbach. He said, "I'm still listening, Josh. I would like to get into some dynasty leagues next year. I've only done redrafts so far." Well, Joseph, we are going to be introducing at least two new Red Rock Dynasty leagues next season, and they'll both be 30-teamers, so some pretty deep stuff happening there. So once the information for that goes out, Joseph, if you're listening throughout the offseason, you'll get that information. There'll be different entry points for different leagues, and not entry points, like different ways to enter. Some of them will be via YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. There'll be lots of different ways to enter these different leagues, which we'll go through all in the offseason. But I will be introducing at least two dynasty leagues throughout the offseason. So Joseph, make sure you're staying tuned for the information on that. The dud of the night goes to Brad Beal of the Washington Wizards. He played just the 8 minutes before exiting with a sore pelvis. He had 3 points. It was a three, but he had a rebound and a steal. And that is it for Brad. To say that his season has been a disappointment is probably an understatement. He comes in ranked 78th, which is exactly where he finished last season. That is obviously subject to change over these last couple of days. But he's been ravaged by injuries, clearly. He's ranked on a total value basis 140th, which is outside the purview of standard leagues. He would have been in and out of value, obviously. And he started off the season red hot. It dropped back. He showed some improvements. Like, he scored more points per game than last season. He hit more threes. The thing is, he regressed in his rebounding. He regressed in his steals. He regressed in his assists. He had a lower block rate. His free throw percentage dropped as well. So it wasn't a matter of like, oh yeah, injuries derailed him, which they did. And that's all fair enough, because he did play two less minutes per game. And his per 36 numbers were up significantly this year. But he just, I don't know, it's a real problem when he goes out with this stress issue in his leg, and then he has the pelvis issue, which I am 100%, I won't say 100 because I never like to be definite on things. I am 95% sure that his pelvis issue is to do with his leg. And it's not referred or anything like that. It is gait related. He is conscious of the leg pain, of the soreness in his leg, of the potential of something happening in his leg that changes the way he runs. He puts less pressure on his legs. He changes something. And we've all had that problem before. If you play sport, and you've played sport in your life, I've played a fair bit of sport in my life. And I'd constantly have issues with backs and legs, and it's a massive pain in the ass. You play a game when you are fit and fully nothing's happening. You feel like you're unstoppable. One little thing happens. Landed on my ankle funny. Not too bad. I can keep playing. But everything changes. Your mindset changes, and your ability to do things in the same rhythm changes. And I reckon that's what's happened to Beal. And then it leads to other injuries. Like, I'd have an issue with my back, and it kept me out of playing cricket for a year. And I'd come back and I'd play, and then my toe would hurt, and I'd go through and sprain a toe, or I'd go through and I'd strain my groin because I'd have to change things to do with my back. And it's all connected. Your body is obviously all connected. And it's kind of looks like it's going to plague Beal for a very long time. Now, what happens with him in the offseason is going to be very interesting. I imagine he's back in Washington. I also imagine he doesn't play again this season. For those of you who are wondering whether you should hold on to him, I would be stunned if he continued to play this season. Same with Johnny Wall, who sat this one out. But really going to be interesting to see what happens with Beal. If you're in a keeper sort of format, acquiring him at a low cost might be worth it, but don't try to buy him with someone charging you full sticker price for Brad Beal, because there's a chance that these sort of problems go with him all throughout his career, because it's been 4 years and we really haven't seen a healthy Brad Beal all throughout that time, which is unfortunate because he can be a really talented player, as I'm sure everyone is aware. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup from Sunday's games. At point guard, Ramon Sessions, 38.5, continuing to smash it with John Wall out. And Ish Smith went for 48.8, a big night from him. He is very tough to predict. We'll have the occasional big game, then put up a stinker. Jim Harden, an absolute mainstay in DFS lineups at this point, 68.3. And Markel Brown, absolutely, if you had him in a lineup, you pulled that fair and square right out of your asshole. 52.2 for Markel Brown. You could not have picked that. Gordy Hayward, 46.3, and Kawhi, 53.1. I really liked Hayward's spot here, and it worked out well for him. And Leonard, I thought, was a decent play, but he hadn't. Well, actually, I didn't think he was a decent play. I thought he was a below-average play going up against the Warriors. And also, congratulations to the Warriors for getting their 72nd victory. I know that Ben's pretty happy about the Warriors getting that 72nd victory, because he switched onto the Warriors bandwagon last season, and he's sticking with them through this season, which, why wouldn't you? So he's pretty happy they got win 72. The power forwards, Nerlens Noel, 42.6. He's been good in those two games back from injury. And Miles Turner pulled a not a retro game, because he's been in the league for 5 seconds. He pulled a game from February out of his hat, 43.5, while Rudy Gobert went for 45.3. A nice performance from the Roodster. And that helps, obviously, with Derek Favors, with that really annoying late scratch for Favors. That lineup would have netted you 438.6, but there is zero chance that anyone had that. And if someone please had that, can you let me know if you saw anyone with that lineup? There is no way anyone had that, because if for you to put Markel Brown in, you were on something, or you have got a copy of Gray's Almanac. There is no other explanation for it. All right, that's it for the perfect lineup. Just a reminder, this is the third last regular season podcast. Obviously, we'll do one for Tuesday morning in States time, and we'll do one Wednesday morning States time as well. I won't do a monstrous line of the night for the final, a recap for the final games of the season. Probably have a couple of days off, looking to do some sort of playoff preview, awards preview show before we head into the playoffs, and then we'll get into playoff DFS there. So there'll be a couple of days, well, at least 1 or 2 days without any podcasts. So you've got two more regular season podcasts to go after this one. But this one is brought to you by SeatGeek. And I've got to have a quick few words from our good friends at SeatGeek. Have you ever been frustrated trying to buy tickets online? Most sites, they make it tough. They make it a pain. And it really shouldn't be that difficult. They'll try to sneak in their huge fees at checkout, which is just another reason not to go with those other sites. That's why you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. It's the only place to go to look for tickets. You can find tickets for sporting events, music events, concert events, festivals, whatever you want on SeatGeek, entertainment, musicals, stage shows, whatever you want. SeatGeek has them, and SeatGeek has it in a very user-friendly way to get these tickets. It's taken all the work and hassle out of shopping for tickets. All the tickets that are available on other sites, they all appear on SeatGeek, and you save time and you never miss a deal. You can set alerts for yourself for upcoming events, and SeatGeek lets you know if those ticket prices fall. Even better, every ticket on SeatGeek is ranked based on value, green dots for good, red dots for bad. And before you buy, you can have a look at your seat on the detailed maps that they have to see what the view is from that seat. Best of all, SeatGeek is always honest and upfront about the price. Unlike StubHub, they show you the full ticket price from start to finish and never try to trick you with huge fees on the checkout page. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code, enter the promo code REDROCK, which is one word, REDROCK. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter the promo code REDROCK today. It costs you absolutely nothing. Download the app, enter the promo code, even if you don't go and buy a ticket straight away. A, it helps support this podcast and really shows the guys at SeatGeek that we mean business as a show. And as a community of fantasy basketball people, you go and do that, download the app, enter the promo code, costs you nothing apart from about 30 seconds of your time. And then when you want to go to something, go to a sporting event, you've got it there, and you know you've got that $20 sitting in your back pocket. So if you go to buy a ticket, not only will you save money on SeatGeek and get great value, then you've got an extra $20 just coming your way when you buy that ticket. A few people have been tweeting me them entering that promo code on SeatGeek, and I love seeing it and let me know that they're getting some tickets. I know someone got some great Red Sox tickets the other day. They got two tickets for $30 to a Red Sox game and then got their $20 back. So two tickets, $10 to go see the Red Sox at Fenway. Absolutely brilliant deal. I can't remember, I think it was Michael. I'm not 100% sure who it was, but thank you for letting me know that. That is a superb deal, and all thanks to SeatGeek and that $20. Remember, it's free. Sign up, enter the promo code, support the show, and then you get a chance to get yourself a supreme bargain on tickets. All right, we're going to look at these games now. in a little bit more detail, the games from Sunday. We'll bring them up on the screen now for you guys who are watching the video. And if you're not watching the video, you just have to hear my voice drone on about them. Alrighty, the first game, the Charlotte Hornets and the Washington Wizards. Big Frank the Tank Kaminsky III, 18 and 11 for Frank in 30 minutes with 3 triples, no other stats, but superb percentages going 4 of 8 from the field and 7 of 9 from the free throw line. Really starting to come into his own at this point in the season. He's getting more minutes. He's not going to get 30 every night, but he is playing a much bigger role than what he was earlier in the season. He's no standard league must-own sort of guy, but in a 14-team league, I do need him. But as I've said ad nauseum, and I promise this will be the only time I say it in this podcast, at this point in the season, it doesn't matter what value you get. It doesn't matter what overall value you get. You want categories. You want 2 categories. You want 3 categories. Get the guys who help you in that category. You want someone for rebounds and threes? I don't reckon you're going to find many better options than Kaminsky. You want someone who gets you rebounds and free throws? He's going to be that guy as well. Really, and this is the beauty, or one of the beauties of Basketball Monster, is you go on, you look at these projections for the rest of the week, for the next day, you know, and punt the categories that you don't care about. Punt the ones that you're winning. Punt the ones that you're losing. Narrow it down to those 2 categories. Which player gives me the best value in these 2 areas? Sort it, work it out, go from there. It is very straightforward, and Kaminsky's going to be a player in that sort of situation. Again, I won't stress it too much, but I really can't stress it enough. Kemba, 16-3-7, 1-1, big night from Kemba. And Marv Williams, down to just 20 minutes here. That's 2 games in a row with low minutes. Still was good, 14-6-3 with 2 triples, but this will happen towards the end of the season, as we know. Nicky Batum, 3-11 is not a good shooting night. 10-5-4 with 2 steals is not horrific. While Courtney Lee, only the 28 minutes, going 8-3 with 2 steals, 2 triples, and 2-11 from the field, not his best night there. Cody Zeller was poor too. He played 17 minutes, 6-6, and that allowed Kaminsky to play some extra minutes, while Al Jefferson went 10-7 in his 21 minutes. Also, we saw Troy Daniels get 22 off the bench. He had 2 points. Sorry, he had 6 points with 2 triples, while Jezza Lynn played 22 minutes and missed all 6 of his shots. So not a lot to like with Lynn. He is not a 12-team league guy. Whilst everyone is healthy, you can relegate him to your 14-team formats. The Wizards got a victory despite the fact that they are now out of playoff contention. Jared Dudley got 29 minutes with all the injuries, and he put up a very well-rounded line. 11-7-3, 4 steals, 2 blocks, 1 triple. The most important thing is that he did play 29 minutes, and I imagine if Beal sits again, which he's likely to do, then Dudley will start to play some extra minutes and could become a useful option. Marcin Gortat, 21-13-4 with a block. He is going to have to provide more offense if Beal and Wall are out. He's not going to be a distributor or a facilitator or anything like that, but they'll have to go to him more and get him to score some more. Ramon Sessions has to be owned, I think, 36 minutes, 15-5-11 with a 3 and a steal. Wall's not playing. He's got to be owned. And Marcus Thornton comes into play now. He played 31 minutes here. He started the second half with Beal out and went 16-5-4 with a steal and 2 threes. Remember the start of the season when Marcus Thornton was a must-own on the Rockets? Completely out of nowhere. Then Terrence Jones came back. Remember that guy? And then Terrence Jones came back and Thornton fell completely out of the rotation, got waived, signed with Washington, and it looks like he could be a factor for these last couple of games. So have a real look at Marcus Thornton. Markieff Morris battled foul trouble. That also allowed Jared Dudley to get some extra run. 19 minutes for Markieff, 11-2-2. Not his best night, but I'm still hanging on there. And Otto Porter just 10-2 in his 22 minutes. Nene's been really good lately. He had 12-5 with 2 blocks in 16 minutes. He's not needing big minutes, but he is providing value. And it's more for 14-team leagues, but he's providing enough in small amounts of minutes that even DFS people need to pay attention to what Nene is doing. The best thing I like here about Bradley Beal not playing is that Garrett Temple didn't play in his place. I just do not rate Garrett Temple whatsoever. And the fact that he was continually getting 30 minutes for big stretches of the season was one of the more baffling moves of the season. For the Mavericks, Darren Williams was back. JJ Barea was out. So Ray Felton stuck at 31 minutes and went 21-4-5, had 2 blocks and a 3. When JJ returns, Felton will lose value and it's going to be tough for him to retain 12-team viability. Dirk had 14-5-2 in his 28 minutes. It's a nice night, but nothing great. While Justin Anderson, coming off a big game, he was pretty bad. 3-6-2. He had a steal, missed all 4 of his shots, but the minutes will still be there for him, and he'll have a bit of a bounce back in the next one, we'd hope. Wes Matthews struggled. 7 points on 2 of 9 shooting, 3 assists, not much else for Wes, and the center position continues to be a black hole. Zaza Pachulia went 5-4 with 2 blocks, Salah Mejri went 1-5 with a steal and a block, and Dave Lee went 2-7 with a steal. Remember when Dave Lee looked good, and I was completely baffled, and I felt like I was going insane? Turns out that I was right, and he is terrible, and those numbers were completely out of control and completely abnormal, and he's back to being just almost unplayable. If this team had a decent front court, he would be unplayable. Absolutely finished David Lee in this league as a relevant player. Devin Harris got 25 minutes. He had a couple of threes with 8 points, but he's not really doing anything in an expanded role. While Charlie Villanueva came on for 3 triples in his 11 points in 13 minutes, but it's fair to say that we're not all that interested in Charlie V. For the Clippers, they got everyone back, and Jamal Crawford. We'll talk about him in a sec. JJ Redick, that's the guy I wanted to talk about first. 20 points with 4 triples and a block on 8 of 10 shooting, a super night from Redick, while Crawford himself hit 4 triples for 22 points with a steal. Great 3-point ownership guy, great free throw guy usually, despite going 4 of 7 here. Not a guy that is an absolute must-own. The best thing about the Clippers' play here is Blake Griffin played 33 minutes. He went 17-11-7 with 2 steals. In bad percentages, but at least he played the minutes and he put up some numbers. Blake's going to miss one of these last two games, I almost guarantee. He will not play these last two. Chris Paul was ordinary. 2 of 10 for 5 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, and a steal helps out. But that sort of scoring from Chrissy is pretty ordinary. And the Mavericks went full hacker in this one. They went 6 of 23 for DeAndre Jordan from the free throw line. He was 14 and 10 with a block. But as I've said numerous times, DeAndre Jordan could go 1 of 100 from the free throw line. It shouldn't matter to you because you've already lost that category the moment he steps on the court. You just hope it doesn't limit his minutes. And he still played 32 minutes in this one. Cole Aldrich, my boy, 4 and 8 with a block in 10 minutes, continues to do good things. And Luke Marmute continues to do not much. 2 points in 13 minutes. Did have 2 steals and a block, but he is far from a reliable option. Jeffrey Green played 20 minutes, and that's the most important stat to take away from his line, is that it was only 20 minutes. He had 3 steals and a block and 11 points, but not much to like there unless Griffin sits the next one. The Lakers and the Rockets. Talked about yesterday in the DFS section, talking about Kobe Bryant, and said, you know what, he's got a chance to go off. Maybe he's worth looking at it, and he did. He hit 10 of 22 shots, which is massively efficient for him. 35 points with 4 triples, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. If he's on your waiver wire and your field goal percentage category is not going to matter, fine. He's going to jack up as many shots as he wants over these last couple of games, and some of them will fall. Some of them won't, but some of them will. D'Angelo Russell, only the 8 points. Only took 5 shots, Russell, because Kobe Bryant and Jordan Clarkson combined for 39 shots between them. But 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 2 triples from Russell. Not a bad night. While Jordy Clarkson, 21, 8, and 4 with 3 threes, is probably his best game in a couple of weeks. Julius Randle, 11, 7, and 4 with a steal. Very, very ho-hum to me. Yeah, he's fine to own, but don't hold on to him sacrificing positional or statistical needs. Larry Nance went 8-3-3 with 2 steals. Byron Scott, who previously had said he's going to sit out or at least one of back-to-backs prior to the game, said he will play in both of these games, but will play on a minutes limit. So he only played 18 here. He'll likely play around that in the next game too. And his fantasy value is not ideal. But interesting to see what they do with Nance next year. I reckon he could be a bit of a deep league sort of sleeper for next season. I think he has a pretty impressive second year. Marcelo Huertas dropped 7 assists in 25 minutes. He is a good assist stream. While Lou Williams and Brandon Bass are excised from the rotation. Also, Tariq Black got 24 minutes, which I'm really happy about. 8 and 7 with a block for Black. Also, Meta World Peace gets 18 minutes. Not really sure why. Just give those 18 to Ryan Kelly. Let him work it out. Not really sure why Meta is getting the 18 minutes there. For the Rockets, Pat Beverley had been poor, but nothing like the Lakers to boost you up. 19-7-6 with a steal and 3 triples. And Trevor Reza did it again, 19-7-3. A steal, a block, and 3 triples. He's had a couple of big games in a row, big Trev. Dwight Howard just does not shoot the ball anymore. Only 7 shots, 9 points, 13 rebounds, 2 steals, and 3 blocks is fine, but you know that you're just not getting any offense out of Dwighty at the moment. Mike Beasley, really tough to deal anything with this guy. 9 minutes, 6 points, and 3 rebounds. Yeah, he's going to score. If he gets minutes, he's going to be valuable, but it's been tough for him to get anywhere close to reliable minutes. There is no point in holding him, especially now that Josh Smith is part of the rotation. For what reason? No idea. 19 minutes for Smith, 9-3-1 with 2 triples and a steal. He's a super deep league option only. Donatas Motiejunas went 8-5-2 in his 19 minutes, and Clint Capela had 5 and 5 with a block in his 15. Not a lot to really talk about with the Rockets, but they did get the victory comfortably in the end after a little bit of a scare when Kobe went off. Milwaukee and Philadelphia. Chrissy Middleton was back, and why wouldn't you when you're playing for nothing, coming off a thigh injury? Why wouldn't you play in 43 minutes? Jason Kidd, ladies and gentlemen, 36, 6 and 9 for Middleton, a 3, 4 steals. Huge night, massive night from Middleton, and really close to the monstrous line of the night. He's been a superb option this season after a really slow start, and looks like he's going to be a real key functional part of this core moving forward. But to play in 43 minutes is borderline insane to me. I don't know why you would do it. Giannis went 14, 9 and 7, but he had 3 steals, 5 blocks, hit another triple. Yeah, 4 of 15 shooting is not great. But that's a pretty impressive night from Adetokounmpo. Gregory Monroe was out for rest, and John Henson started. Oh, no, he didn't start. Well, he got extra minutes. He played 25 minutes. He just will never get 30 minutes in his career, it appears like. But he was massive, 18 and 10 with 2 blocks. We know he is a per-minute stud for fantasy, and if for some reason he got 30 minutes, he would blow up everywhere. He gets 25 minutes a game. He's a must-own guy. Now, do you think Monroe will come back? I do think Monroe will play in these games, so that's going to limit Henson. Especially with Miles Plumlee looking serviceable. 28 minutes for Plumlee in the start. 8 and 6, 2 steals and a block. He's been a solid source of blocks when he gets the minutes. Jabari Parker, 31 minutes, 15 and 6 with 2 triples. At least he hit the 2 triples. Not much else from him, but hitting some threes is a good sign. And Rashad Vaughn went back to the bench. 23 minutes for Vaughnie, 9 points with 3 triples. Tyler Ennis got the start. And I was expecting some big things from Ennis. It didn't pan out that way. He got 39 minutes, but went 4, 3 and 4. He's better than that. Well, let's rephrase. He can be better than that. He has been better than that. Not sure he actually is better than that, but the opportunity is there for him. So he is worth looking at it in 12-team leagues still, but he's definitely someone that could be sacrificed to get some extra games in. And General Grievous Vasquez was scoreless in his 14 minutes. On to the Sixers. Nerlens Noel, 18 and 13, 3 steals and a block. He operates sensationally when he is a center and he's without Jahlil Okafor there, puts up stats like they're going out of fashion. A tremendous, one of the things I've heard a lot over this Sam Hinkie nonsense over the last couple of days, I've listened to, I reckon, 5 podcasts talking about it. And everyone's very much like, Hinkie's done nothing with the draft. He's made terrible picks. And no one seems to think that Nerlens Noel is any good at all. Am I the only person who thinks that Noel is actually a decent player who is not a game-changing defender, but a significantly good defensive piece who gets his hands on a lot of balls and gets his hands in a lot of passing lanes and gets his hands on a lot of shots and alters a lot of shots and has shown terrific work in increasing his field goal percentage and being able to develop more of a shot? I think he's worked extremely hard this season. I think that his defensive presence is completely underrated by so many people, and I don't understand everyone. It was a shit pick, a terrible pick. They traded Jrue Holiday to get Nerlens Noel, Dario Saric, and a first-round pick. That was the haul they got for that trade. I think that's going to work out significantly in Philadelphia's favor. So to say that they've got no players out of it, I think is selling Noel extraordinarily short. Ish Smith was awesome. 22, 9, and 8. 2 triples, 3 steals, 2 blocks. Just fantastic. Let's hope... Well, maybe not. I was going to say, let's hope he's back with the Sixers next year. Let's hope he finds a pretty good role next season, because the Sixers could draft someone. They could get themselves their hands on Chris Dunn, which would be an interesting guy as a point guard for them. But Smith works sensationally well with Noel. He didn't build quite the same chemistry with Okafor, but with Embiid as well, he could be a real handy option. And yes, he does have issues with his field goal percentage and all that sort of stuff, but he has been really good. So has Bob Cove, 19 and 8, 5 triples, an assist, 3 steals. I've been on Bob Cove all season, and he has really, he's been great. And I don't think many people could argue that he's been an impressive player this season. Yes, he's had some horrific slumps. I thought he was mismanaged when he went through that shooting slump and put on the bench and completely marginalized, but he did play through it, and that worked out well for him. He's ranked 62 on the season. Yeah, you drafted him probably around that spot. He's hitting over the last month 3.6 triples per game at 15.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, 1.7 steals. They are tremendous numbers, and you would have likely had him in a punt field goal situation. You take the punt, the field goal issue out of it, we're talking a top 30, top 35 type of guy. He has been really good and gone through some significant slumps. Jeremy Grant had a season-high 21 points. He also had a triple. He had a steal. He had 3 blocks. And he hurt percentages as well, going 8 of 13 from the free throw line. That is the story with Jeremy Grant. It's going to happen all the time. Yes, he's made some strides in that area, but he's still not a good shooter. Sauce Castillo is getting a lot of minutes. He's not doing much with him. 12 points with 2 triples on 3 of 15 shooting. He had a massive chance for a big year this year. He's squandered it. While Hollis Thompson went 10-4 with 3 triples, and his shot has been MIA over the last couple of games. Also, no Carl Landry in this one, still dealing with that back problem. The Jazz and the Nuggets. Gordie Hayward, two of my favorite teams, actually, the Jazz and the Nuggets. Gordie Hayward, 22-9-5, 2 threes, 2 steals, 1 block, great percentages, no turnovers, superb line. Rudy Gobert, this is what owners drafted him in the second round for. 16-14 with 6 blocks. The 6 of 11 free throws are a concern, and he is going to have to be put into that almost punt category for next season. He has shown absolutely no improvement in his free throws. In fact, a regression. But the other numbers are starting to come back to back in business now. And you could say that the knee injury really hurt him. But he was poor before the knee injury as well. He wasn't poor. He wasn't as good as what we anticipated before the knee injury. But that did really hurt him, and it bring him down quite a few notches. How was my boy Trey Lyles? Now, can I claim him as one of my boys? I'm pretty sure I can. Can't I? Let me know. Or maybe I'll put a Twitter poll up. Can I claim Trey Lyles as one of my boys? Let me know. But he was fantastic. 32 minutes for Lyles with Derek Favors out. 22-6-2 with 4 triples. The Jazz are in an interesting situation here because their best player is probably Derek Favors. I could say maybe Hayward. Yeah, Rudy Gobert, we know what he can do. And then their best young talent at the moment is Lyles. And he plays the same position. Now, putting him, working those three guys and playing them 32 minutes apiece would be awesome. You know, run Gobert and Favors. Run Lyles and with Favors at the 5. Run Lyles with Gobert. The shooting that Lyles brings to that, but he is an extraordinarily talented player, Lyles, and he is going to be a real force in this league. And at some point, it may necessitate a trade of Derek Favors, but he, at this point, he could play off the bench. He could play in that Derek Favors role, which Favors played for like 2 or 3 years behind Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap, and get himself 27 to 30 minutes a game and be an absolute stud. I can't wait to see what Lyles becomes. Love him, love him, love him. Rod Hood, love this guy as well. 13-5-2 with 3 steals and 3 triples. He is going to be a monster next season. And Shelvin Mack, 14-3-6 with 2 threes. Has been fantastic since coming across. No way that I saw him being this productive, but he has been, and it's happened. Alec Burks, 14 minutes, 0 points, 5 rebounds and 2 assists. It's safe to say you don't want to go near him even in 14-team leagues at this point. For the Nuggets, Yusuf Nurkic, he did start next to Nikola Jokic, so that was good. He played just 22 minutes because he was not shooting well. He was 2 of 11. He went 6 and 4. He had 2 blocks. Not a good shooting night from Nurkic, but the thing is that Fareed did not play again, even with Nurkic struggling. I imagine Nurkic plays, and if the shot falls, he will play 30 minutes in the next one. Nikola Jokic is a flat-out animal. 19-11-4, 2 steals and a block. And if he does not come top 3 in Rookie of the Year, if he is not a first-team all-rookie person, then the people voting really need to pull their heads from their rectums, because he has been absolutely sensational. Jokic, I'm still debating when I'm going to do the award preview show that we're going to have at the end of this regular season. Do I put him at 2 on Rookie of the Year? Because he has been tremendously good at just doing things that rookies just don't do. He is amazingly polished. If he could play the 4, which is still a struggle, Jesus, this team is going to be very, very interesting. Bill Barton had a big game, 10-7-3, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 1 triple. Don't buy into that, but he's definitely worth holding at this point and owning. Well, Emmanuel Mudiay hit 8 of his 16 shots, so that's 50% for those of you who don't have a calculator handy. He went 19-3-5 with 3 triples and a steal. Big game from Mudiay, 38 minutes. And the way that he's playing and the minutes that he's getting has severely limited DJ Augustine, who had 2 points in his 18 minutes. Obviously, Augustine can be dropped and should have been dropped a couple of games ago. And Mudiay, the percentage killer possibility is still there. So if you're just really close in those percentages, he's probably not an ideal guy to have. But if they're out of control, the percentages, forget about it. Everything else, it looks like he's smashing. Gaz Harris, 13-3-2 with a triple. Nice numbers from him. He's been very, very impressive this year. And Joffrey Lavernier had 10-5 in his 23. Axel Toupin played 11. Darrell Arthur was back. He played 12. And Jakar Sampson, my boy, not really, but yeah. 14 minutes for Jakar. He tallied 1 rebound. So much for that. the Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat. There was no Victor Oladipo. There was no Aaron Gordon. There was also no Brandon Jennings because Scott Skiles decides that he's not going to play him the last two games, DMP CDs. What a trade that was, trading away Toby Harris to get their hands on Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova. Let's see what the Magic can do with their cap space before we fully evaluate the trade, but it's looked pretty piss poor at the moment. Evan Fournier, 32 minutes, 21, 2 and 5 with 2 triples. He is going to have significantly increased role with Oladipo out. And Lord Alfred Payton, only the 26 minutes here, which is disappointing. 8, 4, and 4. They gave Shabazz Napier 12 minutes. They got CJ Watson 22 minutes. Which, seriously, just give Payton 33 and let him run it out. What's Watson going to do? Nothing is the correct answer. Nick Vucevic played 30. He went 19, 8, and 2 with a steal. Big percentages. He's been great since coming back. And Mario Hezonja started in place of Oladipo. Not a great night. 10, 3, and 1. Two triples and a steal is decent, but he's more of a 14-team league guy. Also, Devin Marble played 27 minutes out of nowhere. 9, 2, and 1 with a 3 and a steal. But he, if we knew he was going to play minutes, which of course we never do because Scott Skiles has him and consistency and reliability do not mix. Marble's a great steals guy, and he's a guy to pay attention to for that category, but we don't know when he's going to play. Andrew Nicholson went from a DMP CD back to his 23 minutes. He hit just 8 shots. So thumbs up to continuity there. And Ersan Ilyasova started in place of Gordon and went scoreless in his 17 minutes. So despite Gordon's absence, Ilyasova is not for the majority of people. Hassan Whiteside moved back to the starting lineup, played 28 minutes, went 18 and 15 with a steal and 2 blocks. He hit all 8 of his free throws. He went 5 of 7 from the field. Is Hassan Whiteside a first-round pick next year? Again, a lot of it depends on free agency, but I would have no issue if he went to a similar situation. I would have no issue taking him in the first round. Amari Stoudemire went from starting and playing 20 minutes a game to completely out of the rotation. That never makes any sense to me, but it is what it is. That allowed Josh McRoberts to play 20 off the bench. He went 6-4-5 with a triple. The 5 assists in 20 minutes is pretty impressive from McRoberts, but what sort of impact is he going to have? I think the answer is nil. Dwayne Wade, only the 24 minutes in an easy victory. 17-3-3 with 3 steals, so he still got it done, while Goran Dragic went 19-2-6 with a steal and a block, and Luol Deng went 22-5 with 2 steals. So big games from the big players on the Heat. Gerald Green got in the action. He had 15 points in 17 minutes. Very unreliable. While Joshie Richardson only had 9-3-4. Played 34 minutes and hit a 3-pointer. Now, Justice Winslow lasted 15 minutes dealing with an ankle injury. He isn't impacting many fantasy leagues, but it might give rise to giving Gerald Green and Josh McRoberts some playing time. So you use 16-team leagues, like look to Green, look to McRoberts if you want threes in Green's case, or you want assists, out-of-position assists, and some threes from McRoberts in that case. Also, Briante Weber played his first game for the Heat. He played 3 minutes and had 2 points. The Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers, Tom Robb went down with a knee soreness, played just 9 minutes and went 2-2. He might play at the end of the season. He's obviously looking for a bigger contract next season, but there's a chance he doesn't play again. The Nets then went pretty small. They used a lot of their smaller players. So guys like Chris McCullough, who started, only played 13 minutes, had 6 points, including 2 triples and a steal. I still like McCullough a lot. And Henry Sims went 4-3-1 with 2 steals in 19 minutes. Could not get the extra run, even with literally no other big men on the roster. Sean Kilpatrick did his standard. Let's score a lot of points and do nothing else. 28 minutes for 26 points with 3 triples, 2 rebounds and 2 assists. He is a source of threes and points. That is it. Don Sloan, off the bench, played 35 minutes. So they played Larkin and Sloan together a lot. That is obviously not the recipe for a winning team, but that's not what this team is. 19-3-5 for Sloan with 3 triples. I'm not relying upon that. While Shane Larkin went 15-4-8 with a steal and 2 triples. He should be owned in basically every league, Larkin. Wayne Ellington went scoreless in 25 minutes, and that is 25 minutes too many, while Bojan Bogdanovic played 29 and went 10-2-1. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson was out of this one due to rest, and you don't need me to tell you that you shouldn't be holding Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. The Indiana Pacers, Miles Turner, massive off the bench, 28-10, a steal, 2 blocks, 11 of 17 from the field. very, very tough to own him at this point, given his up and down nature, but that's massive, and we know his potential. Georgie Hill pulled one out of nowhere, 18, 5, and 4 with 4 triples in 21 minutes. It helps when you play the Nets, obviously. And this game was over so quickly. Paul George only got the 22 minutes. Yan Mahinmi played just 22. Monte Ellis played 22. And it allowed these bench guys like Turner to thrive. It also allowed Solomon Hill to have another big game, 13 and 12 with 2 steals. Your 14 to 16 team leagues need to be taking notice of what Solomon Hill's doing. He can get some steals. He's a rebounding sort of player. I don't expect games like this all that often. But he's obviously got the potential. That's 2 out of about his last 4 or 5 that he's put up some decent numbers. CJ Miles hit 3 triples. He's a great steals, a great 3 stream. And Ty Lawson, with Hill limited due to the nature of the game, played 26. Lawson went 7, 6, and 9 with a steal, but that is obviously only relevant in deeper formats. Mighty Joe Young got 12 minutes as well, and he had 3 assists in that playing time. The Warriors and the Spurs. The Warriors get that victory. Victory number 72. Steph was great. 37, 5 and 5. 2 steals and 4 triples on 13 of 22 shooting. Hit all 7 of his free throws. A tremendous night again from Steph. Draymond, not so great. 11, 4 and 4. And Clay went 14 and 6 with 2 steals and 2 threes. So, of course, it was those guys who drove everything. Harry Barnes went 9, 3 and 2 in 33 minutes on 3 of 10 shooting. He had been playing better, but the playing against the Spurs is not a good recipe for him. And Bogey was back. He went 4 and 4 in his 23 minutes, while Festus Ezeli had just 1 point in 6 minutes. There was no Leandro Barbosa in this one, but that doesn't really impact what the bench can do because they're not providing a massive amount. Maurice Spates, 6 and 5. Iguodala went 3, 7 and 3, and Livingston went 4, 2 and 4. On the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge, a 24 and 10 night, probably his best performance against the Warriors, while Kawhi really struggled shooting-wise, going 7 of 22, but 20, 13 and 5, 2 steals and 3 blocks, still going to get done in multiple areas. Timmy Duncan rested in this one, and I use the term rest loosely because he is going to be marginalized when they play the Warriors. He cannot keep up. That moved Dave West into the starting lineup, who went 4 and 10 with 2 steals. It probably would have been Boris Diaw if he happened to be healthy, but that's a decent night from West. Tone Parker, 4, 2, and 4. He was poor, as was Dan Green, who went 2, 2, and 2 with a steal. He's been one of the most frustrating players this season, I'm sure. And then throws in a game where he'll have 3 blocks, 3 steals, and 3 triples. And you go, that is why I own Danny Green, or why I wanted to own Danny Green. But incredibly frustrating season for Danny Green and for the Spurs fans and for fantasy owners as well. The last game of the night, the Toronto Raptors and the New York Knicks. The Raptors get the victory. DeMar DeRozan, 27, 3, and 4. Lowry, 15 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 4 triples. Nice nights from those guys, while Jonas Valanciunas went 14 and 7 with 3 blocks. Big games from the big stars there. Normie Powell started, wasn't his best night. 1 of 6 shooting for 2 points in 21 minutes. And he is a borderline ownable guy whilst everyone is playing. Damari Carroll, just the 17 minutes, he's easing himself back. He had a triple one. He had 5 and 5, but I'm not scooping him up in my standard leagues, obviously. Terrence Ross, 13 points in 21 minutes, while Jason Thompson got a start with Luis Scola out. He went 6 and 7 in 19 minutes. For the Knicks, Melo, 25 minutes, 21, 6, and 3. The best part of that is he only played 25 minutes. And the best part of the next one is Jerry and Grant played 38. He went 19, 3, and 1, had 3 steals and a 3. Absolutely fine with adding him. He's going to be probably a points and a steal source, and that's fine for what it is. Also, the Knicks continued with their developing the youth path. They played Saša Vujačić 35 minutes. He went 13 and 8 with 3 threes. And you know what? You have to consider owning him at this point. As stupid as it sounds, I talked about it yesterday. I had to have a big long shower after the podcast. But Vujačić is playing minutes. As much as it doesn't make sense to you or me or anyone with any rationale in the NBA, the Knicks are doing it. They've done it all season, and he's putting up numbers. Can't argue with it. Robin Lopez, 28 minutes, 10, 5, and 1. Yeah. Nothing too good there. And Derek Williams is starting in place of
percentages.
But he's not getting enough minutes to really have an impact. 23 minutes, 8 and 4. Whatever. Ho-hum. I would much rather that Kurt Rambis get out there, you know, rolls out his cock and get O'Quinn to play the minutes. But Williams is the one that's doing it. I want to see O'Quinn. I want to see the Knicks cock. I want to see him out there. It's not going to happen. You know, Cock went for 8 and 10 with 3 assists in this one. He can do a ton in limited minutes, but unfortunately, it's just it's going to be Williams and him sort of splitting the minutes. Langston Galloway went 7, 3, and 4 in 27 minutes, Also, my anti-boy, Aaron Aflalo, played 23 minutes and took one shot. He had 0 points, three rebounds, and one assist. And the best thing I can say for Knicks fans next year is that you won't have Aaron Aflalo on your team. He will not be coming back to this team. He will exercise his he will decline his player option. He will become a free agent, and some other poor bastard of a team will have this guy on it, sucking minutes, shots, and money out of them. Now, he's not a horrible player. He's not the worst player in the NBA. But for what he is and for what his reputation is and for what people think he can do, he is just probably, is he the most overrated player in the NBA? To me, I just think he offers nothing. He's offered nothing for about 3 years, yet people still think, oh, no, Aaron Aflalo, he's a good starter. He should be good. He'll do something. He's a good scorer. He's a nothing. He is a nothing. He's better than Jakar Sampson. He's better than Saša Vujačić. I'll give him that. But for what his reputation is, he has fallen off significantly. Guys, that is the rundown of Sunday's games. We're going to have a quick word from one of our sponsors. I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to be back to talk DFS for Monday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street. And I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart race so, so long ago. And don't go, please take my hand. I'll take you to the place that we both met so long ago. It was a bad night. So big thanks go out to Bryce Whitney and his band Columbia for providing that song for the podcast all season, and everyone else who's provided music for the whole season. Stephen Van Marnen and his band, the guys at Genderqueer, the guys from Joe Hero, and Trey Mowder's band, which I cannot remember the name of your band, Trey, but thank you to providing the music and the soundtrack for this podcast all season. It's been great to have all the different types of music on here, all from listeners of the show as well, which is fantastic to see you guys doing some musical stuff. And Bryce, I know you're in Australia. I think if you're listening, are you in Melbourne? Because if you guys have got a gig, I'd like to come and watch it. I want to hear that song live. So Bryce, I'll hit you up on Twitter, and I'll see if you guys have got anything happening. Let's look at these games for DFS: Atlanta and Cleveland. There is no spread released yet. Let's look at the point guard situation. Recently, both these teams have been really forgiving against opposition point guards, so there's a bit of value potentially to be had here. Jeffy Teague's at 7,000. That feels just a bit expensive. He's jumped $200 in price, and yes, against Kyrie, it's pretty nice. He's averaging 33 the last three times they've taken on the Cavs, but I'm not sure I'm overly interested in him at 7,000. Kyrie, on the other hand, at 71, in theory, it looks good, but I don't know. He's just not... Like, he's been okay. He just hasn't been great. Like, he's averaging 32 across his last five, 31 across his last three. And he sort of feels like he's in that area. And 71 just feels like it's just 400 too high. Not keen. Dennis Schroeder, he's a good tournament play. He's at 3,900. He dropped 27 in the last game. He could go off. He could do nothing. But he's an interesting tournament play. While Matthew Dellavedova, yeah, he needs a few guys to sit before he gets interesting. Shooting guards. J.R. Smith, we know what his story is. Plug him into a tournament, and that is literally it. 38 points for him in today's game, or the last game that they played. But he's very much up and down, not really a cash option. Kyle Korver's in the same boat. He's at 3,600, so he's an upside tournament play as well. Or Iman Shumpert, Lamar Patterson, Tim Hardaway. Remember when Lamar Patterson played minutes at the start of the year? That was interesting. Tim Hardaway Jr., they're not going to be of much use in DFS. The small forwards, Thabo is at minimum salary. he could get minutes, but I'm not, or you will get minutes, but he's not someone I'm interested in for DFS. Kent Bazemore has been destroying at the moment. He's at 5,100. I am absolutely fine with using Kent Bazemore in cash and in tournament lines. Well, LeBron at 10,400. I reckon if you've got cash left over, he is a pretty good option. We know that you're going to get 40 plus out of LeBron most nights, probably even 50. You should, his last three against his team, he's averaging 49. I reckon he's almost locked in for a 50 here, LeBron. I would much rather take LeBron over, say, a Kevin Durant if I'm spending 10,000 at the small forward position. Mike Scott, Richard Jefferson, James Jones, don't think they're going to need much of an opportunity here. Power forwards, Tristan Thompson's at 4,500. Hasn't really been getting to value. And the Hawks have been quite good defensively against big men, so he's not someone I'm loving. And speaking of loving, Kevin Love, at 7,000, not loving him either. He did drop 37 in the last game, but he, like Kyrie, feels like at 6,500, I'd be absolutely all over them. 7,000, you can leave it. Now, Paul Millsap makes an interesting guy here. He is priced at 8,900. There's not many power forwards out there who are expensive. I think, in fact, he's the only one who's priced at over 7,500. He has been killing it. He's averaging 54 across his last three, but the Cavs have been really limiting power forwards. And then I'll go the flip side, is that the last three times that Millsap's played the Cavs, he's averaging 43 points, which at 8,900 is not quite 5x, but it's pretty bloody close. So if you've saved up money and you've got bargain plays at other areas, and you know what, I've got 9,000 bucks spare and I've got a power forward, and Millsap, you should get 40 out of him. I wouldn't be shocked to get 40. But a lot of the factors aren't working in his favor here. But he's been on an absolutely red-hot streak at the moment, so that's something that is working in his favor. At the center position, Al Horford is at 6,900. He has not been reaching that level. He hasn't historically done massively against the Cavs. He's been all right, averaging 34. And at 6,900, that's okay. But the ease matchup's not ideal. His recent performance is averaging under 30 across his last five. Marginally under 30, but under 30 enough. Not keen. Tim Mozgov, I don't think anyone should be keen. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Orlando Magic. There's no spread release for this one. I guess they're waiting to see whether Victor Oladipo and or Aaron Gordon play. I would be shocked if either of those guys played. Let's look at the point guard matchup. Tyler Ennis at 4,100. Really stunk today, but 4,100 to get 20 points, absolutely fine with going back with him. And Lord Alfred Payton at 6,000. Skiles is really killing his value by not playing him enough. With Oladipo, he does have 30-point upside, but I wouldn't be using him outside of a tournament. That's it. CJ Watson, minimum salary. Yeah, he played minutes in the last game, but I cannot trust that whatsoever. And obviously Shabazz Napier, Grievous Vasquez, Brandon Jennings, they're not going to be really intriguing me all that much. The shooting guards, Chrissy Middleton, massive today, 59 points. He's averaging 45 across his last three. If they're going to do something ludicrous and play him 40-plus minutes in a back-to-back coming off a thigh injury, so be it. Do we predict that to happen? I don't think he gets to 40 again, but he's at 7,200. To him to get to 35 points shouldn't feel like a massive stretch. I am okay with using him. Not loving it, but I'm okay with it. Rashad Vaughn's value, he didn't take full advantage of an opportunity that he had of playing 40-plus minutes, and now that he's down to 20, that won't happen. Devin Marble, no thanks either. Small forwards, Mario Hezonja, 3,500. Didn't do anything today. In his he played 32 minutes, had 15 points, but I think he can be better than that. I think that he can give you 20, and at 3,500, absolutely okay to use him. Evan Fournier at 5,700, he feels like he's a real solid cash game play, that 30 points shouldn't feel too far away from him each night. Well, Giannis at 9,700, killing it lately, another 48 today. He's averaging 50 across his last five. When he gets to 10,000, it's tough, but 9,700, I think that 50 points is not a stretch for Giannis whatsoever. The power forwards, Ersan Ilyasova, Andrew Nicholson, Jason Smith, no thank you. John Henson was great, had 35 today. He's priced at 3,600. That's tremendous value. If Munro sits, then it's Henson all the way. If Munro's in, it's a lot riskier, obviously. Jabari Parker's at 6,500. Not really getting that sort of value lately, so I reckon we can leave him out of it. At center, Greg Monroe, 5,600. No thank you. Nick Vucevic at 8,100. The Bucks front court bump is significant, so he is in play here. He feel like he can get to close to 40 on most nights. It's fine as an investment. If Munro is out again, then Miles Plumlee at 3,700. You have to look at him. He dropped another 23 today. He's averaging 20 across his last five. You're not quite, the ceiling's not massive on him, but it's an okay option if you're looking for a cheap center. the next game, the Charlotte Hornets and the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are favored by 7. The total is 208.5 points. Let's look at the point guards. I do like Isaiah Thomas here. He's at 7,600. The matchup is positive. He's averaging 35 across his last three. I think that 35 should be a pretty decent spot for him to get to. His salary's dropped by 300 all over using him. Marcus Smart at 4,600. Look, his recent numbers make you want to look. He's averaging 25 in the last five, 27 in the last three. Is it enough to influence me to use him? I have a hard time doing it. Now, his last five games, the lowest score he's had is 21, so he's playing a lot better. That's undeniable. But I'm just not keen on him for DFS for whatever reason. Kemba Walker at 8,000. Well, the guy opposite him is $400 less, and he doesn't have to face as tough a defense. Absolutely taking Isaiah over Kemba. Shooting guards. Avery Bradley is at 5,800. It just feels like it's right on his value. No real upside, and it's only downside from there. He can be left alone. Jeremy Lin at 45 needs an injury to put up numbers. Courtney Lee, same. Troy Daniels, Jeremy Lamb, and RJ Hunter. You'd have to be playing some sort of weird DFS format to really consider those guys. Small forward, Jay Crowder is at 6,000. Yeah, dropped 30 in the last game. There is a bit of a risk that if the game is a blowout, he is just going to be yanked. So that makes him hard to use in cash. Evan Turner at 5,900, probably a little bit overpriced with everyone healthy. And Nick Batum at 7,500 hasn't been getting anywhere close to that value lately. I think he's got a chance here to put up numbers, but a lot of these players and teams who are, I suppose these two teams are fighting each other for seeding, so that comes into play. So Batum is an okay punt option, but I'd be doing nothing more than that with him. Power forwards, Marv Williams at 5,600. Not quite getting it done, but this Celtics bump is real and it's fantastic. I think that Marv Williams at 5,600 is a bit of a contrarian option, and I do like it. Amir Johnson, it's so tough. Him and Jared Sullinger, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, Johnson's been the more consistent guy lately, but it's still completely up in the air, and I wouldn't want a piece of either of them. Frank Kaminsky at 3,800, massive game from him, 31 in the last one, but don't think the reliability is there for me to really recommend him in many spots. Center, Cody Zeller, he's not a fantasy option. Al Jefferson, no thanks. Kelly Olynyk, Tyler Zeller. Yeah, one of them might go off, but most of the time they won't. Washington and Brooklyn, the Wizards are favored by 5. The total is 210.5 points. Be shocked if John Wall plays. I'll be shocked if Brad Beal plays. I'll be shocked if Tom Robinson plays. Although, you know what? Maybe it won't be as shocked if Tom Robinson plays. I like Ramon Sessions at 4,200. He's averaging 34 points across his last three. Lock him in. The matchup is easy. The price is low. The opportunity is great. Love it. Larkin, on the other hand, 4,600. He's averaging 27 across the last three. Why can't you go with Larkin? Why couldn't you? You could use both these point guards. Lock them in at your two point guard spots. Save a stack of money and then run with like a Giannis and LeBron at small forward or one of the other. You might have money left over. Chuck a Paul Millsap in and hope that he continues his good form. But you can get away with two cheap point guards on this slate. Don Sloan dropped a 30 burger out of nowhere. He's at minimum salary. I don't have any trust in that happening again. And that's it for the point guards. Shooting guards, don't think Beal plays. So Marcus Thornton at minimum salary. He dropped 28 in 31 minutes, including a half of starting. 3,500, you would assume that Marcus Thornton, if we hear that he's starting, which I imagine will be the case, you assume he gets 20 points, and 25 is easily within grasp. He's been almost a fantasy point per minute over his last five, and at 3,500, he just needs to play 17 minutes to really return that sort of value. So we know what we're talking about when we're looking at Thornton as being a pretty great option if Beal is out. Garrett Temple's another guy who might get some of those minutes. Let's hope he doesn't because he does nothing with them. And Alan Anderson, he's not going to play minutes. His body won't allow him. On the Nets, will Markel Brown go for 50 again? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. Can you use him? Sure. He's at 3,800. Maybe something happens, but most likely nothing does. Wayne Ellington's a spud. Sean Kilpatrick gives you points, but it doesn't really translate massively into DFS. But he did have 30 today. That's because he scored 23 real life points. The matchup is pretty terrible though, so I'm not overly keen on Kilpatrick, but he's not a stay away. Otto Porter is at 5,300, not doing it for me. I like the matchup, and that's maybe something that would turn me into using Porter, but his recent numbers haven't been good. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, not going to be using him. Bojan Bogdanovic, similar. The power forwards, Tom Robinson, 6,700. I won't be using him. That salary is massive. really tough for him to get to that number, especially with a wonky knee. Mark Heath at 5,800 struggled today. He's an okay option. I reckon you can maybe find a better play out there. Well, Nene at 41. I reckon Nene is interesting at 41. He's averaging 21 across his last five, 23 across his last three, and that's just in 18 minutes. He's not going to get 25, 27 minutes, nothing like that. But yeah, he's consistently giving you 20 points in less than 20 minutes. His last five games, he's giving you 43 points per 36 minutes. So we're talking well over a fantasy point per minute. I'm okay with using Nene in an easier matchup. Chris McCullough at 4,100. If I'm choosing between McCullough and Nene, it's going to be Nene for me as a more consistent cash game option. Jared Dudley was good as well today. He's at 3,500. I think it required a confluence of events for that to happen, for Mark Heath to be limited by foul trouble and for Beal to go out. So did both those things happen? Well, maybe one of them does, but then you've got to rely on, say, Mark Heath being limited as well. So that makes it harder to use Dudley. At centre, Marcin Gortat at 6,300. If Beal and Wall are out as we anticipate, then he is going to have to get a lot more usage. He dropped 43 in the last game. His history against the Nets has been tremendous, averaging 40 points in 27 minutes across the last three games. At 6,300, I think that you should get 35 points from Gortat and feel pretty confident about that happening. Henry Sims, if you can't get minutes when Brook Lopez, Willie Reed, Thad Young, and Tom Robinson are out, then you're probably not going to get minutes in the NBA anyway. Yeah, he did get some, but he didn't even get to 30 with all those guys out, which says all you need to know about Henry Sims. The Lakers and the Thunder. D'Angelo Russell at 5,300. The shots just aren't going to be there while Kobe's going to be jacking 30, so it's tough. Marcelo Huertas dropped 24 today on the back of a really strong assist game. At 3,500, he is just a punt option, and even then, his ceiling's not high. And Russ Westbrook, 10,400. You know what? That's pretty cheap for Westbrook, but the Thunder are locked into the three seed. Is Westbrook going to play 30 minutes? I'd be stunned if he got over 32. Stunned. And if he does, I think it's the wrong thing. So he's not someone that I'm interested in. Now, who's that elevate campaign? Does it elevate Randy Foy? It's a possibility, yeah, but not enough for me to really look at them. Now, any of these guys could be rested. You know, Westbrook and Durant might not even play this game. I imagine they'd want to, being it's the last time they played Kobe, but I don't think they play big minutes. Kobe, on the other hand, I had a bit of a spiel about Kobe yesterday, talking about going on and adding him and rostering him, and it would have worked out pretty bloody nice if you did it. He dropped 39. He's averaging 28.5 over his last five, and at 5,100, that's pretty decent value. There is no chance that Bryant takes less than 20 shots in this game, so at 5,100, for him to get 25 fantasy points, it doesn't feel like a massive stretch. Fine with him. Jordy Clarkson at 54 had a big game in that last game against the Rockets, getting 34 points. But much like Russell, will he get the shots? Will he get enough of the ball to be able to get enough scoring to get to 5,400? Not sure. Dion Waiters, he's at 3,900. I don't hate him in a tournament. It's a great matchup. He might see himself getting 30 minutes if Westbrook and Durant are limited, which is a massive possibility. So I can see using Waiters in a tournament and blindsiding everyone. Andre Robertson, Randy Foy, Anthony Morrow, they're not going to be much good. Small forwards. Durant, just everything that I said for Westbrook is in play here. Durant, he plays decent minutes. He'll get you 45 points. But what if he plays 27 minutes? It's a real concern. Not interested. In fact, his last three games against this team, he's averaging just 37 points and averaging just 32 minutes. That is where the concern lies. Ryan Kelly, Men of World Peace, Kyle Singler, Josh Eustace. What a bunch of crap with the rest of the small forwards in this game. Power forward Serge Ibaka, he's going to fall into that resting zone as well. His production isn't even high enough to take that risk on, despite the really good matchup. Not keen. Julius Randle's at 6,400. That is too expensive for what Randle returns. No thanks. And Larry Nance at 3,700. Not when he's going to be limited by the minutes, given it's a back-to-back. At center, Steve Adams, 4,500. Really good spot here in terms of matchup-wise, but I don't put much trust in him. Or Enes Kanter's salary's dropped $200. He's at 5,600. He could put up a monster. Just check for restings if obviously the stars rest, which again, I doubt they do. But if they do, then Kanter is going to put up a monster performance. He is averaging 30 across his last five. Don't hate using him. Don't love it unless people are out. Houston and Minnesota. The Rockets need this victory to keep themselves in the playoff hunt. They are favored by 3.5. The Timberwolves have been very impressive lately. The total is 216.5. Rick Rubio is at 6,500. Just hasn't quite been where he needs to be, and the Beverly matchup's not ideal. Where Beverly at 5,200 had a massive performance today against the Lakers, but Rubio is a different kettle of fish. Not going to be using him. Tyus Jones, Jason Terry, Andrew Gadlock. No thanks for those players. Jim Harden, yep, we know what we're doing with him. 10,600, he's in. Zach LaVine, 5,400. Yeah, he's been okay, but I'm definitely not in love with using Zachy. Small forwards, what about Wigo? He's at 6,900. He's been pretty good lately, averaging the 34 across the last five, but it just doesn't feel awesome. But this matchup is fantastic, so I'm all for using Wigo here. Trevor Reeser at 5,800 has been tremendous as well. He's averaging 32 across his last three. I think he is a fine guy to use. He's going to play those 40 minutes. He's going to have to put up big numbers, and I think he's worth looking at. Nemanja Bjelica is at 4,100. The minutes have been well up for him, averaging 25 over the last three, including 25 fantasy points. Dropped a nice 34 in the last game. It's risky using him, but I think in a tournament it might pay off. Shabazz Muhammad, Mick Beasley, Corey Brewer, Tayshaun Prince, KJ McDaniels. Really tough to find a reason to like those guys. The power forwards, Gorgui Dieng at 5,600. Not liking what's happening with his minutes. The salary's come down nicely, but I'm not keen here. Clint Capella, Josh Smith, Donatas Motiejunas, they're not going to be interesting for me. Dwight Howard's salary has dropped significantly recently. He is now at price just at 6,400. And he's been putting up okay numbers, but the lack of scoring is just going to kill him. And that's why it's hard to use him. On the other side, Karl Anthony Towns is at 8,800. Just lock in 40 points for him basically every night. 45 should feel like it's pretty comfortable for Townsy as well. Absolutely love this guy. The Bulls officially eliminated from the playoffs now. They take on the New Orleans Pelicans. A lot of speculation that Pau Gasol has played his last game, but I've seen it from nowhere apart from a couple of forums and that, oh yeah, Gasol won't play again. Maybe he won't. I'd just be stunned if they said, oh, we're out of the playoffs, Pau. You just don't bother coming back. It just doesn't sit right with me. I just can't see it. Maybe I'm missing something. I haven't seen nothing official to say that that's the case. I've seen nothing from any Bulls reporters to say that Powell won't play again. Sure, he'll play limited minutes. He will probably play under 30 minutes. I can understand that. But I don't think they're just going to say, Powell, don't play. Oh, I can't see that happening. Anyway, let's look at the point guards. Timmy Frazier's at 6,500, and he gets Derrick Rose and a Bulls team that doesn't care. He could have a massive game. He's a 35er, I reckon, here. Derrick Rose, on the other hand, everything's lines up for him to have a big game. 6,100 salary, that's a drop of $300. That's nice. Yeah, Pelicans team who's fielding D-League players. Fine, but can Derrick Rose do it? He's averaging 17 points across his last five. I put zero confidence in Derrick Rose doing this. Tone Douglas at 5,900. I think he's a great option to get out there as well. He's averaging 33 across his last three. Absolutely fine with using Tone. He should get to 30 points as well. Aaron Brooks, no thanks. Shooting guards, Jim Butler, 8,400. It just feels too expensive for me. I can't see him going out there and playing 40 minutes, but you know what? It's the Bulls, so whatever can endanger his health, let's do it. Will he get to 40? No, I'm not keen. Justin Holiday will be the guy that really benefits if Butler is limited. He's at 3,700. I doubt that he's going to have enough of a role to be a DFS valuable player. Small forwards, Jim Ennis at 4,100. Really nice game in the last one, dropping 28 points. Yeah, 20 points from him against his Bulls team shouldn't feel like it's a tough ask. He'll get 30 minutes. He'll put up 22 to 23 and be pretty decent. Jordy Hamilton in a bench role is harder to use at 4,500, while Lukey Babbitt at 5,500 has been very, very solid. His lowest score across his last five, Babbitt, is 26 points. And at 5,500, if you get 26 points as a worst performance, I reckon you're pretty bloody happy. And 30 points should be the aim for Babbitt. Miritich, 5,100. Which Miritich are you going to get? You're going to get the good one? You're going to get the bad one? You're going to get the one that Hoiberg plays? You're going to get the one that Hoiberg doesn't play? Who knows? He's always a great tournament play. Doug McDermott, Mick Dunleavy, no interest in those guys. Let's talk power forwards, and let's talk Bob Portis, who's at 3,800. He is averaging 21 points across his last three, but I'm not overly sold on Bob being a real DFS guy. 4,000 for Dante Cunningham. I absolutely know my position on him, and that is don't use him. the sentence. Cristiano Felizio is the interesting guy here, who dropped a 26 in the last game at 3,700. He did it on ridiculous shooting, but does he get some extra run? Now, the power will probably be limited. I don't imagine power completely sits, but Felizio at 3,700, you might have to have a look at him. I wouldn't be keen on it, but you might have to. Pau at 8,300, I don't think that he's going to get enough minutes to return that value. While Alexei Zhinsa is not on the Pelicans injury report despite leaving last game with a shoulder problem, so that's good news. He's at 4,900. He gets a Bulls bump. He's one of my favorite players. I like Alexei Zhinsa here. I think that there is a 25er, a 30-point performance coming. And remember, he had a 53-point game just two games ago. Also, if you like getting as low a score as possible whilst using actual salary, Omer Asik is the man to do that. Dallas at Utah. There is no spread released for this one just yet. I guess we're waiting on JJ Barea. He is the thing that turns all gambling markets. Let's look at the point guard. Shelvin Mack is at 5,700. Yeah, Mack's been putting up numbers, but it's not translating DFS-wise at the salary. Darren Williams at 6,100. The matchup is horrific. He had a nice comeback today, 24 points, but to him to get to 30, I think it might struggle. JJ Barea at 64, not with Williams back. Ray Felton, he had 33 today. He's at 4,800. Just too many guys there for me to rely upon them. Shooting guards, Wesley Matthews, he's at 5,000. It's real tough to use him at the moment. He's not doing anything, and the matchup's horrid. On the other side, Rod Hood is at 5,500. He had a nice 25er today. He's averaging 29 across the last five. The matchup's a positive one. Vote one, Rod. Devin Harris, doing nothing. Alec Burks, not going to happen either. Gordo Haywood is at 7,000. He dropped a casual 46 today. He's averaging 36 across his last five. The matchup's there. Everything lines up for him to have a big game, and it'll be even further strengthened if Favors is out. So like Haywood, Justin Anderson's at 4,200, had a real stink bomb today. Not really sure that he's a massive DFS option, but he's a tournament play to me. Joey Ingles, no thanks. Power forward, Derek Favors, if he's going to play, he's at 6,700. I don't mind him, but I think that they'll take it easy on him with his knee to a degree. But if the game's close and they need a win, then he's going to have to run out there. He's an option, but not an awesome one. Dirk at 67, not against this team. Trey Lyles at 3,600. If Favors is out, smash Lyles, get him in everywhere. He dropped 31 today. He could easily have another 30 at 3,600. Trev Booker at 3,500. He's fallen behind Lyles in the rotation, which is good. At center, Rudy Gobert at 5,700, a nice 45 today. He's averaging 37 the last three times he's played the Mavericks. He feels like an absolute, not lock, but he feels like a very, very good center play at that salary, even further elevated if Favors is out. As for the Mavericks, Zaza Pachulia and Salah Mejri, who knows what the hell you're going to get out of those guys. Sacramento and Phoenix. There is no Boogie Cousins, obviously, for the rest of the season. There won't be any Marco Bellinelli or Omri Caspi, most likely. And we don't know if Rajon Rondo is going to play. So if Rondo is out, then Darren Collison at 6,300 becomes a must-play point guard. Rondo at 79 is pretty interesting going up against the Suns, who are horrific against point guards. I think that 40 points shouldn't feel like a stretch for Rondo to get. Ron Price at 3,600, a great matchup for him as well. I'm okay with getting him into a lineup at that almost minimum salary. Let's look at the shooting guards. Devin Booker is a tough guy to use in cash. He's at 6,800. He's been up and down. Real tough to use, I think, in a cash game. But in a tournament, there's upside, obviously. Seth Curry's at 4,500. That's feeling like it's too high. But against the Suns, I don't mind getting him out there and using him. In a cash game, I wouldn't mind it. I think that he can get you 22 or 23 points. I'm just not sure of his upside. Ben McLemore, Jim Anderson, no love. John Jenkins, Archie Goodwin. Yeah, Goodwin was good in the last one, but I have very little trust in that happening again. Small forwards, PJ Tucker, 5,600. He's been exceeding that value pretty much most nights. Fine with using him. And Rudy Gay at 7,100. Averaging 44 across the last three, really smashing it at the moment, and I'd imagine he gets another 35 here. I think he's definitely an option, especially if a lot of these guys sit, including Rondo. Chase Buttinger's not going to move the needle. Power forwards, Mirza Teletovic at 5,600 has been playing sensationally, averaging 32 across his last five. In fact, his lowest score in his last five has been 28 points, and at 5,600, you've already locked yourself in at 5x value, so love Mirza here. Alex Len at 57. I'd rather spend 100 less and take Mirza. But Len's been okay. Not great. Willie Cauley-Stein has an opportunity with Cousins out. He's at 5,600, but again, but Teletovic is the guy that I prefer there. Quincy Acey, he's getting extra minutes, but it doesn't translate into points. And let's keep our fingers crossed that Duye Dukan can get into a game. At centre, Tyson Chandler at 5,600. Absolutely fine with using Chandler. He's been putting up good numbers. And opposite him, Costa Kufos at 4,800. The salary has risen by $500. It's making it a little bit tougher to use him, but I imagine that from him, we can get close to a fantasy point per minute. And if he gets to 30 minutes, that's 30 fantasy points. I think that he's a pretty decent guy to use with Cousins out for the remainder of the season. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day for Monday. Ramon Sessions at 4,200. Timmy Frazier at 65 and Isaiah Thomas at 7,600. Shooting guards, Marcus Thornton, 35. Kobe Bryant, 51. And Jim Harden, 10,600. Small forwards, Jim Ennis, 41. PJ Tucker, 56, and Giannis Antetokounmpo at 9,700. The power forwards, Nene at 41, Mirza Teletovic at 56, and Paulie Millsap at 89. And the centers, Costa Kufos at 48, Tyson Chandler at 56, and Carl Anthony Towns at 8,800. All right, guys, we have made it through. There are two podcasts left in this regular season, but remember, don't go away. There's going to be shows going all through the playoffs, all through the offseason. The Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast does not stop. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Basketball Monster is at Basque Monster. Of course, Hardwood Paroxysm got their season eulogies going at the moment. All the other podcasts on the Hardwood Paroxysm network as well. There's stuff being churned out there all the time. The guys at Fast Break Breakfast are bringing up podcasts. The Heat Check guys have got stuff happening. There's a lot happening over at Hardwood Paroxysm. Check out SeatGeek, our sponsor for today's show. Use that promo code REDROCK, support the show, and get yourself $20 into your pocket when you use your first purchase on SeatGeek. It's easy to do, takes 5 seconds, and it helps support me and the show and your love of fantasy basketball. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.